section.
In the mix with Bart Cop Radio.
Well, hey, let's get in some phone calls. Our very first caller is our good friend, Tony Soprano. Tony, it's great to have you back on the show.
I just saw this video of Dennis Hastert questioning John McCain's credentials as a Republican. The reason he questioned it is because John McCain had the sense to say, why are we talking about cutting taxes in a time of war? Where's the sacrifice? And this fat chicken hawk sucking motherfucker who did everything he could to not fucking be in a POW camp for 4 years, or however long it was. I don't know, maybe it was longer, maybe it was shorter. But anyway, this fat motherfucker, this fucking cowardly motherfucker, had the nerve to and say, well, if John McCain wants to see sacrifice, he should go to Walter Reed or Bethesda Hospital. I mean, come the f*** on. How many f***ing times are they going to insult my intelligence? Am I that f***ing stupid? Do I look that f***ing stupid? Huh? Just because there's a f***ing donkey representing my party doesn't make me a f***ing jackass. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Tony. Always good to hear from an old friend. Here's another old friend. Clarence Swinney, Burlington, North Carolina.
Bart, Clarence Swinney, Burlington, North Carolina. I'm trying to promote attacking the Bush gang, not an individual. There's a lot of information and ammunition that can be used to attack the White House gang. The connotation is evil, mob, etc. The foreign policy is PNAC, conquistadors. The domestic policies, ART, Americans for Tax Reform, Grover Nutquist. Thanks for your good work, Bart. Thanks very much.
Thank you for that, Clarence. They certainly are a gang, the evil empire, the ruthless killers on a global scale, guilty of so many crimes, but we can't know what they are because that would help the terrorists. This next one is a puzzler.
Two words. Open.
Well, now, when you're dealing with an IQ of 64, you often need to drop longer, bigger clues. Two words, open convention. We can guess that this is a Democrat who is not fond of Kerry and would like to see the convention opened up to all comers, but I'm not sure at this juncture we can change horses. Oh, sure, it's possible. If Kerry would make the monster gaffe of all time in the next couple of days, maybe somehow, but geez, how would a nation of Democrats can't stir coffee. How in the hell are they going to come up with a new nominee without going through the states again? But the good news is Bush seems to be doing, as you know, we recently have rethought our long-term strategy. I've been screaming at Kerry all this time, effing do something, say something, get in there and fight, pretend you're wanting to win this contest. But Josh Marshall, whatever his name is, he had a pretty good idea, I think. He said Bush is doing such a horrible job, and now apparently people are noticing that maybe all Kerry needs to do is be quiet, lock himself in a hotel room, let the monkey boy explode on his own, and all you have to be is the guy that's not Bush come election day. Now, we don't know how long the strategy will hold. Maybe Bush will come out of this somehow. Maybe they'll somehow make a successful transition in Iraq. I'm lying. But somehow, Bush could make a comeback, so we may need to have that fight for later, but it's real possible that for right now, all Kerry needs to do is not screw up. If he can just manage not to screw up, he might be able to coast to November.
Hey, Bart, this is Karen in Michigan. I've been listening to the Randy Rhoads Show, and she is fantastic, but one of the things that has kind of bothered me at first is everyone that call in would agree with her, and I wanted to see what she was like when someone argued with her. Well, if you go to her second half of her show on May the 14th, and it's like minute 43:30 through 49:30, but you actually need to go through 50 because she says a few things good about Bill Clinton. She has this guy calling. His name is Michael in New York, and she just rips to him a new one. Oh, my God, she was magnificent. She was just fantastic. Oh, my God, was she good. And she really red-assed him. That's all I wanted to say. So, anyway, keep the hammer down, and thanks a lot. Bye.
I either wrote about this or spoke about this. We went on a 3 or 4 hour drive out in the woods, so we had nothing to distract us. We had the entire Randy Rhoads show, and I was just stunned. All I could say was, wow, listen to that. In the 4 hour period, she did some general kind of beatdowns, but yeah, one or two monkeys got through. Well, not got through. She invites the monkeys. She's not like Rush. She's not a coward. But one lady in particular got through. I started screaming at Clinton for not doing anything about the USS Cole. She said her nephew died in the coal, and Clinton did nothing about it. And she said, what was the name of the investigator assigned to your nephew's case? And she said, I don't know. And she said, oh, please, you're trying to tell me your nephew was murdered? You're so angry about it, and you have no clue who's running the investigation? Are you not invested in this at all? Do you not care? And then as time went by, the lady changed from my nephew to my son. And by the end of the call, she's going, lady, you're just a liar. You call up here, talk about your nephew and how it was all Clinton's fault. Now he's your son. You can't remember what relation you are to the guy. You can't remember who was in charge of the case. What are you, stupid or lying? I mean, she just pulled out the big hammer and just went smack, smack, smack all over the lady. And I'm sitting there going, damn, listen to her. Randy Rhoads never stumbles for a word. She always knows what she's going to say. She's got this Mr. Spock recall ability, or like Data on Star Trek, where she just machine guns the facts to you. Boom, boom, boom. She knows the name. She knows the date. She knows what happened. She knows who did it. She knows who saw it. She knows the proof. And it's right there. And she comes at you with this fire hose of information. And all you can do is stand there and go glub, glub, glub when the ocean hits you. I've never seen anyone. Carville's not that good. Bagala's not that good. I'm not that good on my best day with 100 years of practice. I'd sure like to be half that good someday. I would love to be a fourth that good someday. That's how good she is. You get a chance to listen to her, take that chance. I think she's on 3 to 7 Central, but I hear it a lot in my car, and they take her off for this Ed Schultz, who might be a good guy, but Randy Rhoads is the best. And when you take away the best and you put in a substitute, that's what you got. You got less than the best. I want to hear the best. I heard a rumor that Ed Schultz contract with either Air America or the XM satellite people, one, is nearing expiration. You know, Randy Rhoads is supposed to be on 4 hours a day in the car. I get her 1 hour a day. That's not good. That's what we call bad. That's the opposite of good. You don't take 4 hours and cut out three of them and dump you with the last hour and expect people to be satisfied with that. No, she's the best there is. Could it be a conspiracy? Do they not want the best there is on the radio? But they grudgingly give her the hour so as not to, we were contractually obligated. That's why we're not letting you hear the best there is. No, I'll tell you, they should rename that the Randy Rhoads Network, starring Al Franken and the others, because she is the star, no doubt. You have no idea the respect I have for this woman. I've never seen anybody that good. Randy Rhoads.
Yo, Bart, how you doing, man? This is Bozak. Please do me a favor. Stop referring to the boneheaded, dumbass moron we know as George W. Bush as the president. He is not the president of this country. He is the coup leader. A coup happened in this country, and as long as people refer to him as the president, people will not understand that a coup happened. He is coup leader Bush, not president. Thanks a lot. I'm out.
Bozak, I smell what you're cooking. But let me say, as America further swirls in the toilet, people, I think, are starting to wonder, how did we get this guy? How did we go so wrong? Wasn't there some kind of thing in 2000 where he didn't really win? Maybe we should take another look at that. How could somebody this stupid, how could somebody this incompetent and this greedy and this dedicated to hurting the little guy to make the super rich richer, how did he get in office? I think a lot of people are going to want to avoid making that same mistake again. I understand what you're saying about the coup leader, but, geez, it's been 4 years. It's a little hard to completely changed terminology and start speaking again in 2000 terms, but I think the problem may rectify itself as the situation in Iraq and the economy, et cetera, gets worse.
Hey, Bart, it's me, Joe from Pluto. How you doing, man? I'm looking forward to that Chi-Town thing. I hope you have more stuff up on your site about it. I got to freshen up on my poker. I used to play it, but all the people I knew around here to play, they were all too sleazy. I didn't like playing with them. But I'm sure I can pick it up real fast. So that's about all I wanted to tell you. Tell the wife I said hi and adios.
That was Joe B. from Toledo. Joe's been sending a few dollars each month since way before there was such a thing as subscriptions. He is a prehistoric pillar, old Joe, and I've never met him. I'm looking forward to meeting you in Chicago, Joe. As far as the poker, here's what you need to do. Wednesday nights on the Travel Channel, if you get that. If you don't, someone you know has that kind of cable. Ask them to make you a tape. It's the World Poker Tour, Wednesday nights, 8 o'clock Central, and it's the best. All the other poker games blow, but this World Poker Tour is great. They have the cameras on the table so you can see the cards, and every time someone picks up a hand, the commentators will say, oh, this is a monster hand. He's got the ace and the king. This is the big one. He's, you know, or they'll say, well, he's got a 7 and a 10. It's really not much of a hand. And then as the betting goes around, they'll say, well, we know he's going to raise here. It's just a matter of how much, or I see no way in this world how he can call this bet. There's this much in the pot. There's this much being raised. There's no way he can do that. But the guys on the World Poker Tour, they are the best. They make the game. The game itself is fine because it's very dramatic when a guy has nothing in his hand and he bets $300,000 or $400,000, daring the other guy to call. And it's just amazing to see them throw that kind of money around. Oh, and remember, now we're not playing Deuces Wild. We're not playing Mexican Sweat. We're not playing AC Deucey. We're not playing all those funny games. We're playing Texas Hold'em. This is the Cadillac of all the poker games. This is where you can go all in. So, yeah, all you got to do to be competitive in the Chicago Poker Fest, which we think is going to be July 17th, 18th, somewhere in there, whatever that Saturday is, big party in Chicago, all you got to do to be competitive in that game, catch your World Poker Tour Wednesday night. It's on every Wednesday night. Joe, look forward to seeing you. I think Chi-Town's going to be the big one.
Bart Cop, help us Chicanos. Your followers can help, too. It's been about a year since a very disturbing incident occurred. My 13-year-old son witnessed his 13-year-old friend get assaulted by a police officer. I learned this same officer threatened to shoot a kid's puppy. This happened in Rupert, Idaho. The phone number for the city office is area code 208-436-9600. I guess there was an investigation, a sham investigation, where the police, yes, the cop's friend in the department did the investigation instead of getting an outside agency. Anyway, they coerced this young man to recant his accusations. I took my son to an independent polygraph examination, and he passed. He did not lie about the assault. But he and two other eyewitnesses, all young Chicanos, were never questioned. The chief of police threatened to frame me for helping this kid. The victim was charged with filing a false report and was threatened with 6 years imprisonment. At the last moment, the charges were dropped. The city of Rupert has a population of 5,000. They got a police advisory committee. I'm scheduled to air my concerns to them, but I have been on the agenda for 5 months. I know they are stalling. Duh. Anyway, call 208-436-9600. Ask for Mr. Bagley. Ask him to quit stalling. Postscript. When my son was 9 years old, another Rupert cop threatened to shoot him in the back. That officer is still on the force. 208-436-9600. Ask for Mr. Bagley. Thank you.
Well, I'm airing this call because I don't have the time to get involved. I know that sounds awful, but I don't have the time to read my mail or read a newspaper. There are just not enough minutes in a day. But I did want to play the call and play the phone number if somebody else has the time to get into this. I don't at all think what you're saying is false because there is a monstrous amount of racism still in this country. And I think all you have to do is look at this Aru grab prison thing over there in Iraq. It's so easy to see another race as inferior, and they immediately translate that into that's an object instead of a person. And this is true all over America. Have you ever noticed if a little black girl gets kidnapped, it's like nobody really cares? The networks don't go all out, and they don't. Larry King doesn't go crazy and all that. But boy, if it's a 10-year-old blonde girl, now we got the Amber Alerts. Now we stop everything. Now it's constant 24/7, wall-to-wall. America is still a racist country. I don't doubt at all that there are some cops who taunt little brown kids just because they can. They see the little brown kids as cockroaches, bothersome meddlers, getting in the white man's way. And, of course, it's not every cop, but I know I'll bet every police force has those kinds of people. I'm doing what I can to give you some publicity, but I just personally can't get into it because I'd have to just put the page in the radio show on hold to dig into it, and there's just no time. There are many hundreds of issues to deal with, and I just can't get stuck on one. But if anybody wants to make a call or investigate, whatever you can do, if we can do something to shed some light on an injustice, it would be nice if we could.
Hello, Bart. This is Vic Tracy, Two Fat Ghouls, Horror Classics. I think you probably remember me. The person that's holding the sign in front of the cops or whoever their security, if they don't have a lifetime subscription, if you know who they are, if they don't have one, I would like to buy them one. And if they ever get the sign knocked out of their hands and get dragged away for whatever scary reason, I would pick up the sign and hold it for them. It's like a flag. It should never be dropped. Keep hitting the hammer, Bart. You're the man.
That picture was in volume 1316. I'll hold him, you punch him. And I don't know the lady's name. It came with an email, but I have so many windows open at a time, you know, you can sneeze and lose everything, and that's what happened. But if that lady would write back in, Vic Tracy wants to give you a free subscription for a year. So please contact me. Just write to BartCop@BartCop.com, and it will automatically go in the right folder, and we'll get you fixed up. But as a rule, please don't taunt these cops. That looked like a very scary picture. I just rewatched The Rock with Sean Connery and Nick Cage. And remember early in the film, the good soldiers and the bad soldiers had a confrontation. And somebody sneezed or dropped something, and boom, that scared everybody, and they all started firing. That's what could happen to you if you're near these policemen holding a sign. I'm not saying don't protest. I'm just saying, you just don't want to be that close to that many cops because they have orders to rough you up if you're anti-Bush. So be very, very careful when you do anything like that. So if you're that lady, write in and claim your free subscription, and please be careful. I don't want anybody beat up holding a Bart Cop sign. And thanks for doing that, Vic. That was real nice. How about a little comedy? Earlier I said Democrats can't stir coffee. Well, they're also not real good at hanging up a phone. This is real. I didn't make this up.
Hi, Bart. Matt from Northwest Iowa. I've called in before with this subject. Bad forces are at work. They were at work on September 11th. You know, I heard 9/11 operators telling people not to evacuate buildings that were obviously on fire and were struck by aircraft. Who told them to say that? This big picture thing is getting worse all the time. The Bush administration, or all the henchmen required with it, they planned it. They planned it to happen. Why? Because we could go in, drop a nuke on Baghdad, and no one would ever argue with it. You know, a lot of stuff is beginning to fit, and a lot of it's beginning to look ugly.
Yes, there are thousands of conspiracy theories about what happened on 9/11, and we just have no way to know, because the only thing we know for certain is that the government is lying to us. That's an ironclad guarantee, and they refuse to talk about it. They refuse to answer questions. They refuse to explain themselves. And they damn sure don't want to talk about why all the planes stayed on the ground that day. You know, if we wanted to get to the bottom of this, I've come up with a pretty good idea. Why don't we appoint, like, a commission or a panel with subpoena powers and have them investigate this thoroughly. And then we can finally get to the bottom of, oh, yeah, that's right, we did that. And it turned into a giant hand job where everybody had 90 seconds to ask a question. And the Republicans used the 90 seconds to, oh, you're the greatest we've ever had. Oh, we're so lucky you were in charge that day. And the Democrats sit there, oh, I'm afraid to ask a question because Mr. Rove wouldn't like it. The big, giant 9/11 hand job. 3,000 dead people, and they don't take their job seriously in Washington, D.C. I hate that. The Democrats, oh, God, they are such spineless wimps, and they refuse to do their jobs. Did anybody out there hear one Democrat ask one tough question? I remember once, don't remember who, might have been Kerry, might have been someone else, say, would you please answer the question? That's about as tough as the Democrats ever got. You got Bob I Hate Clinton Kerry on the panel, and you got Lee Whitewash Hamilton. Those were our two knights in shining armor that were going to find the truth about 9/11, but no. Like everybody else, they went to sleep. They didn't want to rock the boat. They don't want to cause a problem. We need to look forward because it's no good to look back. And what good will it do to point fingers now? Well, hell, we might could change the administration if we pointed a few fingers where they honestly need to be pointed. But no, Mr. Rove wouldn't like that, so the Democrats backed off again. Maybe if there was 30,000 people, or maybe if there was 300,000 people died that day, maybe they'd do their job for a mere 3,000. Why should they bother? They're getting their paychecks anyway. Nobody complains about the Democrats. They're doing a great job keeping Bush in check. I need a drink.
You are now listening to Bart Cop Radio.
Don't